Chapter 12. The Incredible Truth. An athletic silhouette jumped and landed right next to him. It was Jean. "Hi, kid. How are you doing?" Arthur could have cried from relief. "Oh, Jean, I'm so happy to see you. There is a man, the murderer. He's trying to kill me."
"What?"
"He's shooting at me. With a silent weapon, you know." "Hey, calm down. I don't understand what you're talking about." Arthur took a deep breath. "Somebody shot at me twice, just a few minutes ago." "Are you hurt?" "No, no, I'm okay. But it was real bullets, I'm sure." Jean put a comprehensive hand on the boy's shoulder. "I'm here now, so keep cool. Do you have your taser?" "Well, no." "Shit, we need help." Jean began feverishly typing on his cell phone. "Don't worry, kid. In less than 5 minutes, the security guards from the domain will be here to rescue us." Arthur nodded, reassured, but ardently praying that the reinforcements would come before the killer's next attack. Jean indicated the right side of the hole. "You watch from here," he turned around, "and I'll watch from over there." Arthur nodded, got into position, and started to watch the big gray trunks in front of him, a dozen feet away. He was afraid he would see a man coming towards him, a man with a rifle, a real rifle. Something vibrated in his pocket. He had put his cell phone on silent mode. A message from Matisse.
"Hello, je te mets ce que j'ai trouvé en fichier joint."
Arthur opened the file. It was a 3-year-old article entitled, "Edward Latimer Wins Plagiarism Suit." Then below, "The judges decided yesterday that the evidence given by Mr. Gary Mendoza was not enough to condemn the famous producer-director Edward Latimer." Scrolling down the post, Arthur found the photo of a man leaving court. He looked furious. This must be the mysterious Gary Mendoza. And suddenly his heart missed a beat. He knew that face, those narrow eyes. They were... "Jean?" he gasped.
"Oh, I see you have discovered the truth," the security guard said calmly.
Arthur looked up at the man he had begun to think of as a friend. Jean, but it was obviously a false identity, had traded his toy gun for a revolver equipped with a silencer. He removed his fake mustache and a fake nose made of latex. Perfect makeup, like in Mission Impossible.
"But I don't understand," the boy stammered.
His thoughts jostled in his head like a bunch of billiard balls. "You killed Latimer because of the plagiarism suit." "Latimer got what he deserved. He was a thief. He stole my ideas."
"What?"
"We studied together more than 20 years ago at UCLA, one day at a party. I told him about a dream I had, about a parallel universe with a quest and dragons. And the bastard stole my story."
"Oh, excuse me, but most fantasy stories are about quests and dragons." "I know what happened. Latimer's lawyers paid a so-called specialist to convince the jury I had psychiatric problems. But I'm not crazy, okay?"
Jean's voice had gone all high-pitched in the last sentence, and the demented gleam shining in his eyes was in complete contradiction to his words. Having regained some composure and calmed his breathing, he went on. "I got a job here 6 months ago, using a false identity, and I waited patiently. The night Latimer came back to his office to work alone, I knew it was the right moment for my revenge. I discreetly left the security station while my colleague was doing his round. I know all the blind spots, all the places which are not covered by security cameras. I entered the main building with my electronic pass." Arthur nodded, but he was only half listening to the assassin's story. Part of his attention was focused on a big piece of dead wood lying not far away. This branch was not as thick as a club, but it looked strong enough to serve as a weapon.
"So you found Edward, killed him, and stole the notebook?" Arthur asked, keeping his eyes on the killer, while he was slightly shifting to his left towards the branch.
"The ideas written in this agenda are mine, do you understand? I tried to pass the crime off as a suicide, but I didn't imagine Latimer would have enough strength left to write a last word in his own blood."
"Mendy? What does it mean?" The boy's hand slowly stretched towards the branch, very slowly, but it was still 5 or 6 inches from his goal.
"It was my nickname at university," explained Jean Gary. "A short version of Mendoza. I was scared to death when I saw that Latimer had given you the UCLA yearbook.
My nickname is mentioned in it, just under my photo. You had the solution right in front of you all the time. So you set Bill's house on fire and tried to kill me. You know the proverb, kid? Curiosity killed the cat. But why didn't you try to kill me again when we were alone in the car waiting for Bill Bixby? Arthur asked, intrigued. Well, murdering a kid in a city street in the middle of the day would not have been very discreet. Maybe I should have taken my chance then. You're right. But I correct my mistake right now.
And with these words, he pointed his gun at Arthur, and the boy felt his body go hard as he was trying to build an invisible shield between the gun and his skin.
I'm dead, he thought. He would never have time to grab the branch. He would die here and now in the middle of Marion County. He was so young and had still so much to live for. But, desperate as he was, crying was not an option. There was no way he was going to humiliate himself in front of this so-called Jean. Arthur closed his eyes, resigned to the inevitable outcome. Suddenly, a violent noise erupted in a nearby wood.
I shot you, Tony, yelled a voice. No, you didn't. You missed me. Liar! What was that paint mark on your chest?
Jean, or should we say Gary, turned his head towards the noise. It was the miracle Arthur had been hoping for. He grabbed the branch and with a furious scream brought it violently down on his opponent's arm. Mendoza screamed and dropped his weapon. Arthur had hit him so hard that he probably had broken a bone. Continuing the movement, the boy hit Mendoza on the head and the adult collapsed on the ground. Arthur dived to get the gun, but the killer was still there. He gave the boy a vicious kick that took his breath away and threw him back. Mendoza rose. His arm was bleeding and probably broken. He was wounded, but not yet out of the game. With his good hand, he picked up the gun Arthur had failed to reach.
Nice try, boy, he mumbled. I'm right-handed, but don't think I'll miss you at this distance.
Once again, the gun was moving towards our hero's head. Mendoza was about to shoot when dry cracking noises broke out from all around. A green splash erupted on his shoulder, another flowered on his chest, and finally a paintball exploded on his face, splashing his goggles.
You're dead, dude, said Big Tony. Gotcha!
The killer was trying to wipe the green paint off his glasses, but he was blinded for the moment. He did not see the other gamers emerging from the woods and surrounding him. He did not see Arthur picking up his branch. In fact, he didn't see anything at all.
I yelled as Arthur's improvised weapon hit him between the legs.
He fell to his knees, screaming in pain. The next blow sent his goggles flying, and he fell on his side, stunned. Tony appeared at the top of the hole. He stopped, surprised by what he saw.
Arthur, what's all this about?
Oh, don't worry. I can explain everything, the boy answered. He turned to Mendoza's unconscious body and said,
Game over.
2 months later, Arthur was back in the U.S., visiting Los Angeles this time. He had been invited to the world premiere of Black Crystal 2, The Underwater Kingdom. And this time, his best friend had been invited too.
I can't believe it, Mattis repeated, overjoyed.
The two boys were walking down the red carpet into the movie theater, surrounded by Hollywood stars and cracking camera flashes.
Look, Brad Pitt,
Mattis yelled, totally impressed.
Of course, Arthur replied, is Mark Finn's American voice. And there's Kate Blanchett.
Arthur's eyes shone where he saw the Pixel PR assistant.
Anna!
With a perfect makeup and fashionable designer dress, the young woman looked more beautiful than ever.
Oh, Arthur, I'm so glad to see you.
Tony joined in the hugs. He looked like a bear made to wear an evening suit. Arthur introduced Mattis to his American friends. So this is your mysterious partner, asked the bearded man with a smile.
Yep, my guardian angel.
Come and sit down. Iman's going to speak. Iman Latimer walked down the red carpet, dressed in a long tunic braided with gold and silver. She radiated beauty and confidence. She had taken over Pixel after her husband's death and was now directing the society. She climbed a short flight of stairs with dignity and moved toward a desk equipped with a microphone. I would like to thank the whole Pixel team who made an incredible effort to finish the movie you're going to see tonight. Applause. But I would also thank two special guests, two young French boys who helped us through this terrible time. Without them, we might never have found the man who killed my husband. And we might never have recovered his notebook. If we're now able to continue Edward's work, it's thanks to those boys.
Yes, Arthur and Mattis. I'm talking about you.
A spotlight lit up the boys, their cheeks burning with embarrassment. They didn't know how to react. Their embarrassment increased when the crowd applauded loudly. Eyes shining with pride for a young friend, Anna put a hand on Arthur's shoulder, and Tony made the boy hold up his arm like a victorious champion. "Now, I suggest that we all relax and enjoy the movie," Iman concluded. The applause finally died down, the lights dimmed, and, his heart full of joy, Arthur watched the immense movie screen in front of him. This was definitely an evening to remember.